From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As unprecedented wildfires continue to rage across the west coast of the U.S., and fierce, record-breaking hurricanes pummel the Gulf and parts of the East Coast, next week's presidential debate will play out as though the problem of climate change simply does not exist. Fox News host Chris Wallace, who is the moderator of the first debate between President Donald Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden, has released his list of debate topics. Nowhere on it is the issue of the changing climate and its impact on people and the environment. Yet polls show Americans increasingly see climate change as a defining issue of our time, even across party lines. My guest is Lauren French, Senior Communications Director at Climate Power 2020. Welcome to the program, Lauren.
Thanks for having me on.
So I suppose either of the candidates could bring up climate change on their own if they wanted. We hardly expect Trump to, since he sort of essentially alluded to the fact that he thinks it doesn't exist. Biden has taken a strong position on it, but if he doesn't raise it, could we have a debate next week, which doesn't even address this issue, even as California, Oregon, and Washington are burning?
So it seems surprising, given all the climate crisis, extreme weather events that are happening in our country, that the debate wouldn't include climate, but it's actually pretty par for the course for past debates. There hasn't been a climate question asked at a general presidential debate since 2008, so 12 years ago. So we are really at risk of both candidates not being pressed to explain their position on science, explain their position on the climate crisis, and what they plan to do about the greatest issue facing our country at the moment.
So the topics that Wallace released for the debate, you know, some of them are pretty broad, and I suppose that we can imagine that he might be able to weave the issue of climate change into it if he chose, but I don't expect so. I mean, it's Trump and Biden's records, the Supreme Court, COVID-19, of course, the economy, race and violence in our cities, and the integrity of the election. Unless it were to be raised in the context of the economy or possibly the Supreme Court, I'm not sure how it would come up. But again, Fox News is where Chris Wallace works. I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised, even though he's supposedly on the sort of liberal end of the right-wing spectrum there.
It's really not about where Chris Wallace works. It's about his responsibility as a debate moderator. The Commission on Presidential Debates picked him out of every journalist in the country to lead a presidential debate, and that has a lot of responsibility. But you cannot abdicate that responsibility just because your employer is Fox News. If he wants to not talk about climate, he has every single day of the year to do that on his own network. But when you are given the responsibility of being a debate moderator, of pushing two people who want to hold the highest office in our land, you are not just a representative of the media outlet you work for, you are a representative of the people. And the people want climate questions, they deserve climate questions. The Black, Brown, and Indigenous Americans and individuals in this country who are dying and living with the consequences of the climate crisis deserve climate questions. So I think it's somewhat irrelevant that Chris Wallace works for Fox. It's not surprising, but he has a bigger responsibility, which clearly he did not meet when he announced these topics. While every single one of these topics can be connected to the climate crisis, and that's why the climate crisis is so omnipresent, is it weaves through economic security, national security, the Supreme Court, it weaves through the election integrity. But there should be a single focus on climate, because it does touch all of these issues. And if we don't solve the climate crisis now, we are going to run out of time, and we cannot work on these other issues. We cannot work on healthcare, police brutality, shoring up our democracy without taking real bold and transformative action to stop the climate crisis from occurring.
Now, the battleground states in the election, the so-called swing states, are ones where, you know, they could tilt left, they could tilt right, Democratic or Republican, hence the term battleground states. And I understand your organization conducted this week or released the results this week of a poll that actually surprisingly showed that the issue of climate change was quite popular, was considered very important for voters in those states. Can you tell me about that poll?
Yeah, so that poll, which did survey voters, Democrat, Republican, Independent, and battleground states, including Pennsylvania, Florida, Colorado, Arizona, I think the finding that surprised me the most was that 77% of independents, so non-party affiliated voters, said that they want climate crisis and climate action to be a top priority for the next president and the next Congress, a day one priority. And that is a new, those are new results, new findings for the climate crisis. This has long been considered to be a Democratic-based issue, but we are finding through polling and through mobilization and organization that Republican women, that independents are really tuning in to this election in large part because of the climate crisis. They are seeing the impact on their economy, their jobs, their family stability, their health, their kids' health, and they're becoming climate voters for the first time. So really what we're seeing is 2020 be the year of the climate voter, and that's not a partisan statement. That is not something that just liberals or progressives are really coming out and mobilizing to vote for, which gives a lot of hope that both candidates and, well, maybe not Donald Trump, but candidates up and down the ballot, Republican, Democrat, will be emboldened by that to embrace bold climate action and to talk about climate at the forefront of their campaigns. We know where Donald Trump is. He calls the climate crisis a hoax. He, you know, very noticeably questioned whether science actually backs up, which, of course, uniformly it does, that there is a climate crisis happening. But we need all candidates to lean into this, because we need all candidates from state council or city council to all the way up to president to know that this is a nonpartisan issue, and it's an issue that is impacting every single type of family in our country, every single type of person in our country, and it cannot be ignored.
Now, the debate moderators are the ones that get to choose the topics. You know, I suppose that's their right. But it's the Commission on Presidential Debates that chooses the moderators. Is that the place where pressure needs to be applied to ensure that the issue of climate change reflect voters' desires, which is to talk about it in the debates?
You're absolutely right. It is the moderators that make the final decisions, but the commission does have a lot of sway here, which is why you're seeing pressure being put on the commission to ensure climate has a center stage focus. Just this week, you saw senators, 37 Democratic senators, send a letter to the commission saying you need to make this a priority. And that joins an effort from earlier in September, where more than 70 members of the House, and this is moderate members, this is liberal members, this is centrist members, coming together and saying, this is an issue and our constituents want to hear about the climate crisis during the debate. And it's, you know, like any organization, the commission says it doesn't have the role to do that, but they pick the time and place for the debates, they pick the moderators for the debates. If they wanted the climate crisis to have a role, I think that we could figure that out, how to do it.
Right. I mean, they could actually pick a journalist whose specialty is climate change, for one thing. That would be an easy-ish thing to do, I imagine. So going back to the choice of candidates, you said that there are leaders up and down both political parties, and you know that are talking about this issue. Let's talk about Joe Biden. Obviously, he's very strongly contrasted with Trump when it comes to climate change. He's released an ambitious climate plan, and yet he has not backed a Green New Deal. He has championed fracking. If I were a debate moderator bringing up the issue of climate change, one of the things I would challenge him on would be that when he served under the Obama administration, it was the Obama administration that oversaw the largest increase in oil and domestic oil and gas production in the history of the United States. How do you respond to that?
I think that's why you need a climate debate. Joe Biden has to answer for his record and his plan and make commitments to the public about what he would do if elected as president. And so does Donald Trump. This isn't a partisan issue. All candidates, both Biden, both Trump, and everyone all the way down the ballot needs to let voters know what they're going to do about this crisis. And it's completely fair game for Biden to have to answer for his past record and what he did as vice president, what he did as senator, his position on fracking. That's all fair game. What we're saying is the questions need to happen. You can't ignore it just because you don't want to talk about the climate crisis or just because you think it is not an issue people care about, because none of those things are true.
And of course, the media helps to set the agenda. They help to influence what is discussed. And even bringing up the issue of climate at a presidential debate helps draw attention to this issue among sectors of the population that haven't been thinking about it as closely. You know, it seems to be a very critically important aspect of agenda setting. It also puts the candidates on notice that this is an issue that people care about. If these two candidates have to answer to this issue or to speak about it, then it really hopefully puts them on notice that it needs to be an issue they should care about. But unfortunately, so far, we know that Chris Wallace seems to not be prepared to address it. What about the future debate moderators? Do you have any hope that in the two presidential debates, and I believe there's one vice presidential debate, that the moderators might raise the issue?
I have all the hope in the world, because you have to hope that these moderators recognize the enormous responsibility that they have to voters. And again, the climate crisis is the singular biggest issue our country will face in the next generation. So I really truly hope that these moderators, and many of them are really phenomenal tip-top journalists, recognize the spot that we are in. The entire West is burning. We are so far into the hurricane cycle on Beta, which is one of the first times we've gotten to the Greek alphabet. Experts are actually predicting we could finish the Greek alphabet, which would be the first time that's ever happened. And it's not just about the numbers of acres burned or the you know, inches of rainfall. It's about the impacts on people's lives. We've talked with survivors of extreme weather who talk about PTSD and the mental impacts on them and their families decades after these storms, because they are put through not only the extreme weather event, but it is the recovery, the rebuilding, the interruptions on their lives. We have to talk about it in terms of all these big impacts and why the climate crisis cannot be separated. It is intersectional to all issues. And especially when you talk about environmental justice, you have to talk. And I would really hope the moderators would rise to the occasion of recognizing we have ignored the climate injustices that have impacted and hurt people of color in our country for decades. And that has to end, because you cannot solve climate justice is so interconnected to racial justice, and you cannot solve one issue without the other. And that's something we should be talking about too. Chris Wallace decided to use what I view as an incredibly pejorative phrase to talk about police brutality, but I'm hoping that he rises to the occasion to talk about the intersectionality of climate injustice and racial injustice and police brutality. And I hope all of the other moderators recognize that we are seeing a rise in stillborn births among Black women because of the climate crisis. We are seeing a rise in asthma rates with Latino children because of the climate crisis and pollution. So this cannot be something these moderators ignore, because it is having impacts, life and death impacts, right now.
And just to give our listeners some information, it is next Tuesday, September 29th, that Chris Wallace will moderate the first presidential debate. After that, October 7th, Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief of USA Today, will moderate the vice presidential debate. Then on October 15th, Steve Scully with C-SPAN is going to moderate the second presidential debate. And finally, the third presidential debate, October October 22nd, moderated by Kristen Welker of Weekend, co-anchor of Weekend Today at NBC News, and she's also a White House correspondent. So these are, of course, all journalists drawn from mainstream corporate media outlets. You know, we have no idea if these issues will be, the issue of climate will be raised in the debates after, but is there something that the people can do? Are there petitions they can sign to pressure the Commission on Presidential Debates and or these moderators and the outlets that they work at to insist that climate change be on the agenda during the debate?
Absolutely. If you're on social media, you should be tweeting at these moderators that you want to see climate being part of the debate. If you want to join a formal petition, you can go to Climate Power 2020 Twitter account or our website. You can find us at Twitter at Climate Power. We have a petition with dozens of other environmental, progressive, and climate organizations to show just the breadth of how many Americans, how many voters, how many individuals want to see climate questions at the debate. You can also, the C-SPAN debate is interesting because it's a town hall, so they should theoretically be asking, or they will be asking questions from the voter. So it'll be digitally, but you can, you know, call into C-SPAN and express your support and want for a climate question there. So hopefully, if the moderators don't necessarily step up, we're going to hear from voters during the C-SPAN debate who are going to make climate a focus because they get to ask the questions there.
And then tell me about the work of Climate Power 2020 and how ordinary people can get involved.
Absolutely. So we are a campaign that is dedicated to empowering candidates to lean into bold climate action and to raising the issue of the climate crisis in the context of the 2020 election. So we are here to make sure that candidates across the political spectrum, across all the various forms of office, know that the voters want climate action, they want to hear about climate, and they're expecting and basing their support based on how strong your climate plans are. So we are fully in for 2020 on climate to make sure that we end this election with candidates who are ready to take bold climate action.
So are there also resources for people who are looking to run for office on this issue in their own localities, et cetera?
There are many organizations. So we don't endorse candidates, nor do we work directly with candidates based on how we're organized as a group. But if you are interested in running for office, there are phenomenal organizations like Run for Something that you can get involved with. I would always encourage people to get involved with their local parties. Those are great ways to learn how to do door knocking or, in the age of COVID, virtual organizing. You can text on behalf of candidates that you believe in. And the candidates make this really easy. If you go to any candidate's website, they will give you a form saying, I want to text, I want to call, I want to email voters. And really, peer-to-peer messaging and organizing is one of the strongest ways that you can influence the outcome of an election, because people trust their peers, their neighbors, their friends more than they trust, you know, political consultants and operatives. So that's one way to get involved. And if you want to become a climate influencer, you can go to Climate Power 2020, and we are looking for people across the country who care about the climate crisis and who want to be an influencer on this issue. We will provide you with graphics, videos, polling, message opportunities, and chances to really make sure that your network, your friends and family understand how critical it is that 2020 is a climate change election.
Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll link to your website from our site as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Lauren French, Senior Communications Director at Climate Power 2020. We've been discussing climate change and the presidential debates. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.